You are now tuned in to the Wrestling Purists.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Ryan.
I am Jeff Hitman.
And we are the Wrestling Purists. If you're listening to us for the first time, we definitely appreciate you listening. If you're watching us for the first time, appreciate you. We're just two guys who love the great sport of professional wrestling. Want to bring these old shows from the past to the present. Really dig out some of the fun that was WCW, NWA, old WWF. And everything through the 2000s, 2010s, we talk about everything. And we're not afraid to share our two cents. So if you are into that, this is totally for you. If you're about two schmucks, just talk about professional wrestling for about an hour. This is for you. And we'll always end the show with letting you know what is coming up for our next review, and where you can watch it so that you can watch it ahead of time. If you so choose to do so, come back. Tell us why we're wrong. Give us the business. So Jeff, we are talking today Battle Bowl. there have been Battle Bowls and it's even brought up at the beginning of the show that last year's winner was the Great Muta. But this was the one and only Battle Bowl pay-per-view that WCW had put on. This is towards the end of 1993. Being the wrestling purist that you are, this is definitely an interesting time in the landscape of professional wrestling.
I would agree. And again, I guess we'll get into it later into the review. The one and only Battle Bowl pay-per-view. Sometimes things are so good or so bad, they only need to be done once. This show is very interesting. Like I said, we'll get into it here in a second. But a wild time, like we've said before, and then the early 90s, even mid-90s, just this mixture of the old guard and with the new guard. And I mean, you almost have, with some of the guys that are even wrestling now, few and far between, but you almost have three generations of, almost three decades, four decades kind of in this mixture into the 90s and the 2000s. So not that I always love these WCW shows, but I love going back and like this Battle Bowl where you go back and you're watching, and you're like, man, I may or may not have known that all these people were in a ring or on a card or a who's who of wrestling. So that part I love.
Yeah. I personally went into this show blind. Because I have watched Battle Bowls before, but I had never seen the show. So just to kind of give you an idea of what a Battle Bowl is, there's a concept and it's called the Lethal Lottery. Okay, so names are drawn at random, and if your team wins, you get thrown into the Battle Bowl Battle Royale at the end of the night. So if you remember King of the Rings of yesteryear, where it was the actual pay-per-view, you have the whole tournament in one night. Survivor Series 98 is another example of a tournament similar to this, where it was the Deadly Games tournament and everything was done in the night. But this is essentially where we're going with this. From what I believe is a Dusty Rhodes kind of drawn up idea. Oh boy, I don't know. I really want to get into this because there's so much to unravel.
As Dusty would say, it's gonna be major motion pictures, baby. Major motion pictures.
This show did about half of the buy rate that it was expected to, which would kind of be why there was no second year of a Battle Bowl pay-per-view. So let's get into this first random drawing here. We get the team of Cactus Jack and Vader taking on Charlie Norris. And at first he says Cole, but out comes Kane. Cole and Kane are the original Harlem Heat. Cole being Booker T and Kane being Stevie Ray. And it was kind of one of these things where he walks out and it's just like, oh, that's not who that's supposed to be. Okay.
Well, there's a spot too where Tony says, well, one member is just as good as another. I was like, yeah. All right, Tony. Yeah, sure.
I mean, whatever you want it to be. But yeah, so I think it's very interesting. And I don't know what type of preparation teams had prior to. I just know that it's very obvious out of the gate that some of these guys have never worked together before in their life.
No, this whole situation, the way it was set up, you know, with this cut and cut, you know, locker room.
Yeah.
It just was interesting. And then this first match starts off and can I jump into it here a little bit?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you got Vader coming down and he's hitting Cactus Jack, which I get, you know what I mean? But then it was almost like three matches in one. So he's beating up Cactus Jack and then he just starts nailing Harley Race. He pops him a couple times and drops him. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Like, and then all this, and then Stevie Ray comes down and he's beating up Cactus Jack. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess maybe they never make it to this match. No, they do. And then they split and then they ring the bell and then they have a match. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is, if they're trying to show you that, hey, this is Battle Bowl and anything goes, anything can happen. And you don't know who's going to be with who or what. Well, you sure did prove that right the first match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very interesting to note they really drive this random part home early because the month before this was Halloween Havoc 93, and the main event of that show was Vader and Cactus Jack. It was a spin the wheel, make the deal match, and it was a Texas Death and Death match, and they beat the absolute piss out of each other. So they come to the ring, you know, kind of slapping each other. It's kind of silly because, I mean, it's like, okay, well, you know, let's win this match and get to the main event. That'll beat the piss out of you some more. But Vader is stiff to nobody's surprise.
He's the stiffest.
He just looks like he is just in no mood to take anything from anyone. And he is... Him and Cactus Jack both are no selling a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, that's Vader's MO to some extent,
mm-hmm.
but man, like just to be honest, the no selling on a lot of the show was kind of, and not no selling from a point of like, I'm actively no selling, but just no selling. Like, well, you hit me. Okay. Well, I got to get to this next move. Like,
yeah. The finish though is that Vader's actually getting some pops here too. He hits a power bomb on Norris. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to call it that, It's sloppy as all hell. And
he takes him up and he goes back, and the only thing catches, if they were on the apron or something like that, he'd have been going for a ride. The ropes kind of caught him, and then it forced him to put him back down, and that was it.
Yeah. But yeah, just not a super great match. Like I said, you know, just, I think it was good to get these guys out first. Considering, like I said, they were the main event of your last show. They're pretty much your hottest feud at the moment. Opposed to maybe one or two other feuds. I think we'll cross the bridge when the time comes. But yeah, so Cactus Jack and Vader win. They advance to the Battle Royale. And then one of Mean Gene's incredible streaks of professionalism continues. You hear, are we on the air? And yes. And then
it's the voice.
Yeah,
that, you know, he goes from, you're almost like, who is that guy? Like, if you weren't watching it, you're like, who the hell is that? Oh, it's Mean Gene. Are we on there? And just like that, you know, like, and then he turns it on just like that. And him, you can tell it's a 90s boy, because him all night, he was on it all night.
Oh, yeah. So our next pairing, we get the team of Paul Roma and Eric Watts taking on Johnny B. Bad. And at first, he says it sags, but then out comes Brian Knobbs. Just more confusion and just overall just... And then you look at the match on paper, okay? Paul Roma, fine worker. Eric Watts, I think, below par. Johnny B. Bad, always going to be a mid-card guy, but always did great character work.
Yeah.
And then you've got Knobs. But on paper, this looks like a train wreck.
Yes.
But the thing here is that Eric Watts is so incredibly green. You know that if he didn't have that Watts name, he wouldn't have a job.
No, not at all. Green as a pepper tree, as my man Cornette would say. yeah, this one was, he was just there. It was three guys, not holding them up, but three guys carrying around, you know, the weight of one guy, if you will.
Yeah. We did have Missy Hyatt. For 13 whole minutes.
Sure did.
Oh my. This is just sloppy, just muddling around. Just got started, and then once it got started, it was one gear the entire way.
Yes.
And
not in a good way.
No. But cutting to the hot tag that happens at the end of the match, and Eric Watts comes in, and it's the that guys get a hot tag and they come in, and the old expression is, oh, he's a house of fire. Yep. Someone needs to put that fire out. Okay. And it was Eric Watts, because this has got to be the worst house of fire, I swear to you. yeah. So he will eventually, take down Brian Knobbs with a crossbody. Knobbs reverses it. He rolls through, gets the win. So we get Johnny B. Bad and Brian Knobbs moving to the Battle Bowl. Like I said, this was brutal to get through.
It couldn't end fast enough.
No, but don't worry. It's not going to get any better. This is probably, other than the actual Battle Bowl, this is probably one of the most interesting matches of the night, I think.
Yeah.
So this is the Shockmaster and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff taking on Lord Steven Regal and Ricky Steamboat. The only thing I think of now when I hear Paul Orndorff is that awful WCW ad in the 2000s.
Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But you have...
He's great.
Yeah.
Orndorff's great in this, though. Again, it's a testament to how good he really is. And I don't think a lot of people really understand how good Orndorff is because he was a guy... if you want to comp him to somebody today, kind of like we could choose a CM Punk. And I mean that, like, not in working or anything like that, because one, Paul Orndorff are better working than CM Punk. Don't at me. But two, a guy that can, who is really good at as a face and really good as a heel. Like, he was good both. And usually you get one or the other, you know, exceptional in one or the other, but no, both guys in Orndorff here too can work really good as a face and really good as a heel. And it's not that I necessarily enjoyed the match, but you could tell between him and Steamboat, you know, a couple of these things are like the other. And also the Shockmaster just leading the league and it was this denim on denim outfit, just denim on denim, cowboy boots, yep. Like, which I don't hate, but man, he just looked like you know, somebody's uncle at a cookout decided, you know what, I'll get in the ring and I'll show somebody. It looks like the fair, like, come on down, you know, at the county fair we're having wrestling, you know, $100 to the first guy that can roll in here and take a bump. That's what he looked like.
Yeah. I saw this, that this was coming up, and I was like, you have three incredible in-ring talents that are going to have to tug around this tub of crap for however long this goes for. And it's not like the Shockmaster is anything special. Okay, I mean, it's...
Well, the fact that they're still running with the Shockmaster, you know, and he's not just, yeah, you know, somebody. And I'm forever just now, every time I hear, just seeing this thing so many times, the Shockmaster gimmick while we're on it, mm-hmm. and he comes to that thing and it booms and he falls. All that, I've seen it so many times, where like, that's not even the funny part anymore to me. It's no. Sid Vicious that goes,
come after me, dude.
He goes, I told you. And you can just hear him, I told you. that is what eats me up now the most, you know, when you go back and you watch this thing. But sorry, you know, not to submarine this thing, but boy.
Oh my gosh. I just remember just and the voice was actually Ole Anderson, which I can't believe they would let him do something like this.
If you got another guy dubbing a live interview promo, like off to the side, you're mm-hmm. you're screwed before, you know, the wheels are falling off before you even put them on.
Yeah, and... like you said, the fact that they still ran with this is crazy. They would turn him into like an absolute bumbling idiot, you know, and no mask anymore, no mysterious voice. You know, thanks for your time, Ole Anderson. You know, and then would just be like a construction worker. What?
The guy that he's dressed like the guy that's at the end of the bar. You know? I mean, it just,
I think,
you know,
I've got the black lung.
Walk into a bar in the 90s and just like look at the end and Shock Bash is down there drinking a cold one.
Yeah.
And again, that's not a bad thing if you're the guy at the end of the bar. But you shouldn't be coming out to the wrestling ring dressed like that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But the fact that this is that this show is towards the end of November. And the Shock Master was on the Fall Brawl team. So that was in September. So we're looking at maybe 3 months from debut, and they're still trying to make this work. And I think that was a problem that WCW needed to get under control, but obviously it would ultimately be their demise in the long run. Just kind of knowing when to say no or stop or
they didn't learn that when they went out of business, you know.
Yeah,
they never learned it.
Yeah, I mean, but to their credit, this is the best match so far, although the bar is extremely low.
Very.
But yeah, so Shockmaster gets the hot tag. And Regal is now refusing to tag in. It leads to this point where I guess Steamboat gets an umbrella and then hits Regal and then Shockmaster splash, and then they move on.
I wish I could give you a reason like, oh, okay, well, this is because there isn't.
No, you're right. And, you know, Steven Regal and Steamboat would eventually have their match next month at Starrcade, which I loved.
Super talent.
Yeah. Steven Regal's run with the television title, I thought it was great character work. Obviously, in today's day and age, the only way you're gonna see a time limit draw is if you have seen AEW.
And even they kind of don't do it right, but you know.
Yeah, but I think for the Regal character, and using that to retain his title, I thought was great work by him. I don't really think he gets enough credit for that.
I'm with you. A huge Steven Regal guy.
Yeah. But like I said, the Shockmaster and Paul Orndorff advance.
That's Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff to you.
Wonderful. We get a promo for Starrcade. This is when Starrcade actually meant something. Although now WWE uses like a glorified house show. But I think what sells this, and I think why this one does so well, is if Flair doesn't win, he retires. And I think that's, I mean, in 93, when kayfabe was still a thing.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you.
Well, that whole Vader and Flair promo was interesting, you know, with the suit, you know, both wearing suits and Harvey Race and Mean Gene making him read the contract, you know, like it looked like Vader was taking too long, and just Vader, I mean, number, to be fair, I mean, he's not known for promos, but boy, mm-hmm. This one he was cutting, you could just tell that like Flair for Flair was kind of giving him room to do his thing. Like, all right, well, let's see what you got here. You know what I mean? And then he was, I mean, he wasn't stumbling, but he was just kind of saying the same thing. And Flair just kind of took over and like, all right, well, let me tell you how this is going to go. You know, it was interesting to watch.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting to watch? Our next match, we have the team of the Equalizer, also known as Dave Sullivan, most infamously known from his feud with his brother Kevin mm-hmm. Sullivan, Booker Man. So it would be the Equalizer and Awesome Kong, not that Awesome Kong, taking on the team of King Kong and Dustin Rhodes. Yes, it is that Dustin Rhodes.
The natural.
A beacon of sunlight in this cloud of absolute garbage.
Yes.
This is bad, okay? I've seen Heroes of Wrestling, okay? You know, I've seen a lot of garbage wrestling in my days. This comes really, really close.
To steal a line from somebody else on the show, it doesn't get any better.
There is not much to this match. Both of the Kongs are probably not in working shape.
No.
I mean, and the fact you have Dave Sullivan in this, you know, and we're about, you know.
Hulk Hogan, Hogan's biggest fan too, to come later.
The Hulkamaniac, right? Uh-huh. I feel bad for Dustin Rhodes in this match.
Well, it was him just wrestling, not a tackling dummy, but him just transforming into a table to hold all, or a ladder to hold all these people up.
Yeah. Dave Sullivan runs the ropes twice, the wrong way. Yep. I never thought that would actually be possible. But the finish here, because I'm not wasting time on this one.
Yeah, please don't.
The Kongs essentially sandwich him. And then Dustin Bulldogs. I have in my notes a Kong. I don't know if that's Awesome Kong or just I didn't know which one was which because I didn't care.
Or just Ah Kong as in single.
Ah Kong. And that's the pin. This is rough. Okay. And look, this is only 6 minutes. It feels like 20. Because
when I was watching this, I was like, okay, the main event, like at some point this thing's gonna pick up or no, it doesn't.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, some of the guys that are left, you know, on this list, and you know, you're looking at Booker T, Davey Boy Smith, Road Warrior Hawk, Rick Rude, Too Cold Scorpio, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, Sting, Ron Simmons. That's at least almost a dozen people that can work.
and there's individual spots, like, you know, where these guys are good.
Yeah.
But when you add everything up in totality, it is not there.
Yeah. So moving on to our next match, it is Ron Simmons and Keith Cole, not to be confused with Cole of Harlem Heat, who's part
of everyone that is.
Yeah. And they are taking on Jerry Sags, and he is out with Missy Hyatt, and a man called Sting. He does this and he does that.
He sure does. Too bad he couldn't save this match.
God bless. Honestly, this had potential. I mean, looking at everything else, the only thing before this that I was even remotely invested in was the one with Steamboat and Regal.
Yeah. Would you say that this is probably the best of these tag matches all night?
Oh my God. I have one that's coming up next that I actually enjoyed more. But I think the fact that nobody died in this match is just a positive. And that was a pretty clean match, I think.
Well, one of these is gonna have to get, you know, nicest person in prison or the nicest person in prison ward, or the ugliest or the most handsome in ugly town. Some, you know, one of these is gonna have to get the award.
Yeah. But doing my civic duty, the Cole twins were essentially jobbers in WCW, never really amounted to anything. They were the runners up for Rookie of the Year in the PWI End of the Year Awards in 93, the year we're currently talking about. I don't know where that is here. Because let me tell you what, in a match with Jerry Sags, you being the one thing that sticks out is not a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. This match was, again, like you said, on paper, you're like, okay, well, this one's not going to be as bad. And it wasn't great. It's almost like, did everybody just decide, like, you know what? If nobody else is, you know, if everybody else hasn't done anything, well, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll just take the night off too. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was like that type, or I'm not a professional wrestler, never been in the ring, but it seemed like it was like, well, like you said, the bar is only here. So hell, we only need to get up to the bar.
Yeah. I think that Keith Cole took took one of Chris Jericho's 1,004 holds, or I should say about 37 of them, because his only move, I swear to God, armbar. Somebody gets a hot tag, armbar.
Hey, listen. Leave my man alone. He working out body part, daddy.
Yeah, he's working a body part. He works his armbar for 2 minutes on Sags. I counted it. It's close to 2 minutes, okay? And I'm like, dude, what? Why? Like, tag out, please.
Because he's blowing up and he's trying to get a paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, and this match goes on for way longer than I think it should have went. There's a lot of just Sags beating the piss out of this kid, Sting beating him up. Yeah. More arm bars. But yeah, the finish is Sags hits an elbow drop for the win. But this whole time, they're building Ron Simmons up to turn heel. And post-match, he hits a spine buster on Mr. Cole.
I didn't like this, though. It didn't make any sense. Like, yes, it made sense, I guess, as in like, oh, well, I'm dead. He's dead weight, you know what I mean? And I'm holding up this tag team, and you lost us the match, and that's fine, but It just had no, you know, beautiful spine buster. But you watch it and you're like, you know.
My favorite line of this entire match is Ron Simmons finally gets a tag in. He punches Sting once. And then Cole tags back in and locks an armbar immediately. You hear Jesse Ventura on commentary. Yeah, we've seen your armbar, Keith.
well,
burying the man.
Well, I forgot. Well, I mean, I didn't forget because Jesse Ventura, between the haircut and the jacket, is just absolute gold. Oh, I'm sorry, and his actual commentary, because he's one of the greatest. But this show is bad, but it's just so good to listen to Jesse.
Yeah,
he's so good at what he does, and again, a lot of that too is just God given talent. I mean, you can't control your voice, but you listen to him and he's just become so plugged in, anonymous with wrestling, and that's, it doesn't matter if it's WCW, it doesn't matter if it's WWF. I mean, obviously he's more known for WCWF stuff, but just in general. When you hear him, it's just, man, like this is wrestling. This is wrestling.
Yeah, not everybody has the gift of gab, you know. So when you have it, you know, use it. Don't waste it. And I think that's what Ventura has managed to do. Oh yeah. All right. So this is my match of the night. It's not great, but it's good enough. It is Too Cold Scorpio, and his partner is Max Payne. Yeah, it's Max with two X's, taking on the team of Ric Flair and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I think coming into this, I looked at it and I'm like, wow. Ric Flair, obviously the best in the world, more than likely at this point. Steve Austin, you know, up and coming guy. Too Cold Scorpio, excellent high flyer. And then there's Max Payne.
Max Payne.
But yeah, I guess he had turned babyface within the last few months, and like nobody was aware that like he was a good guy, and you could kind of tell like just from them talking about him on commentary, like, oh wow, is this, like, you know, like he's a good guy now. I think they kind of throw in some points there to make us aware of this.
And Too Cold Scorpio was great. And this, well, when I say great, I don't mean like, again, this pay-per-view and this match for what it was. He's done, all these guys have done way better. Mm-hmm. But it's just that in this match, some of his stuff was good. Steve Austin was pretty good for what they could do. You had Flair doing Flair things. He was kind of healing in on some of the Steve Austin tags. Mm-hmm. You know, Austin go to tag him, and he'd pull it back and hit his hair and strut down the apron. Just great stuff. And then Flair gets in and he's taking his usual bumps, but I'm telling you, I understand in this world we're living in now, and this modern wrestling world, and this wrestling didn't start till 2017 for a lot of people. Again, by no means is Ric Flair the, you know, Okada, Omega, you know, Rollins, Danielson, like, no, not at all. I think everything evolves and it gets better, you know, from wrestling all the way to football, all the way to basketball. I mean, you know, people just, you know, and in 20 more years, there's going to be people more athletic doing more things. But the way he takes his bumps, the way he moves around the ring, only he can do it. If anybody else did it, you would MF him and boo him out the building. But Ric Flair... It just works. When you throw him to the ropes, you see how he turns and takes that, just the bump into the buckle. It's like, it's a Ric Flair bump. It's again, I'm not telling anybody anything that they don't know on Ric Flair, don't get me wrong, but I encourage people to go back and watch some of Ric Flair's stuff. And you can even say, well, he does the same thing all the time. Yeah, but what do people do now?
Yeah.
The same, I mean, I guess I am getting on there. I'm purist. We're purists on this channel, right?
Exactly.
Okay. You watch the Young Bucks and Omega, and like, well, they do the same thing. They're going to do the Meltzer driver. They're going to do all their stuff. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. That's fair. It's fine. But man, you just watch Ric Flair and the bumps he takes. And again, to be fair to him, like, this wasn't even one of those matches. This was one you could forget because it wasn't that good. But just watching Rick do his thing, God, man.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that we want to cover up his face and give him a new gimmick and, you know, try, you know, to MF him as much as we can is ridiculous because, I mean, it's another rant for another time because I feel like we go on and on about how, you know, Ric Flair is just – the best to ever lace up a pair of boots.
I didn't mean to submarine the show, but well, I had to put some respect on Ric Flair's name. That's all.
It's worth it. Because he does win this. He puts the figure four on your boy Max Payne. Like I said, this is probably the most watchable match on this card, other than the main event. I mean, like I said, the bar already was low. But I think watching Scorpio and Flair kind of go at it in the ring is like, we needed more of this. And yeah. I don't remember a match just straight up between Too Cold Scorpio and Ric Flair. Because it probably didn't happen.
Yeah, it probably didn't, and they're too, like, way, you know, far ends, as in styles, but it works because both of those guys can have a match with anybody. Too Cold Scorpio does it where he throws him to the rope, and he jumps with enough time, like, where he goes up. By the time he hits the rope and comes back, he kind of Scorpio jumps and turns himself over and kind of, like, boom, hits the ground, like, as the guy runs over him, I was like, like, and it didn't look like, all right, I'm waiting for this spot. No, he just knew, okay, well, if I sing him off here, I got, you know, three steps, he's back, I got to be down and up. And it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. We go from that right into this. And we get Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Buff Daddy.
Yeah. And he is teamed with I will use an alternate name here because I always butcher Tex's last name. You could call him a pig farmer, you could call him a naked Midian. Same guy here. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Okay. Ignorant or not, I don't care. I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to pronounce his last name. But they are taking on, funny enough, the team of Shanghai Pierce, which would be the Hog Farmer. And at the time, the WCW International Champion. That'd be the Ravishing One himself, Mr. Rick Rude.
Yep.
I'm struggling with the booking here now because Rick Rude is supposedly like he's holding the secondary title right now.
You know, well, that and he looks like $1 million.
Yeah. And then you throw him in here with the freaking Godwins and Buff Bagwell. You know, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, I mean, two if you count Bagwell. I mean, his work isn't the greatest, but you know, if you're just looking at a face value, you know, yeah.
Yeah, not really a match I want to watch again. Oh boy. No.
Well, and it's just like you said. Why in the hell Would you book these guys against each other? Again, I actually don't, for all the internet people and everybody who loves wrestling and thinks they're a booker, I don't love booking. I'm not one of those guys. You know, I'm not always a, we're purists on this show, and I'm not always a, well, I've got a better idea booking wise guy. But man, if you just look at this thing, I say all that to tell you that I'm about to book it. So I guess I'm a hypocrite, but
there we go.
But I'm just saying, Cod, if you just look at all of the talent that they had on this show and you decide to, and I don't mean like the booking of the matches. I mean, just if you're doing Battle Bowl, we'll put these two people versus these two people. You know what I mean? Like only have so many spots, and like, I guess it's not a booking, it's a talent. Why did you use some of these? So you look at the people that they had in the side-by-side in the heel and face locker room, and you're like, oh, okay, well, because at first I was like, oh, okay, this Battle Bowl should be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Look at the guys. Nope. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah. I think this match exceeded my expectations. And I say that to say this, that, we passed the midway point in this match and, we get both the pig farmer and the hog farmer. And they just start beating the absolute piss out of each other. And this is the hottest I think I've seen the crowd the entire night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they were all in for it.
They were all in for it. Yes. And this does end up with Rude hitting the Rude Awakening. That would push him and Mr. Shanghai Pierce to the Battle Bowl. I mean, it was a fine match. I mean, nothing... I mean, that was probably the most memorable part of it. And honestly, that's the most memorable part of this show so far, other than the Starrcade promo we saw in the first hour.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% behind it.
Yeah. So on to our last Battle Bowl matchup here. we have Road Warrior Hawk and Rip Rogers. He is the current head trainer of Ohio Valley Wrestling. For those keeping score.
Sorry to cut you off, but this is what I'm talking about. Like when I said like at the beginning of the show, like what if I told you Road Warrior Hawk and Rip Rogers would be a tag team? You're like, what? No. Oh, you know what I'm saying? No. What if I told you they were on the same card together? Well, yeah, they were.
Yeah. They take on the team of Davey Boy Smith and Cole, not Keith Cole, not Kane, but Cole of Harlem Heat, also known as Booker T.
Not Adam Cole.
No, baby. Go ahead and start, because I've got some choice words for this one.
I guess I'm somewhat with you. I tricked myself into thinking that maybe this would be the highlight of these matches, as in like they're going to save the best tag match for last, like the best Battle Bowl tag match, you know what I mean, for last. And they saved the best one for last, all right. But not in a good way. This one was kind of all over the place for me. Just the jumbleness of all these matches and the way, the micro booking of what's going on in these matches is just, it almost was like a free-for-all. You know, and every single match is a free for all. And it kind of looked like, I mean, I guess in these times, I guess they are booking, not booking themselves, but maybe they're obviously working, calling the ring maybe themselves, but it shows in all of these matches. And this was another one that wasn't any good.
Yeah. I think the opening kind of salvo here kind of lays everything out perfectly. And Rip Rogers comes out, he says, "I'm your partner, Hawk," and we're on the ramp, and Hawk just knocks him out. He just knocks him out.
Yeah, it's like the opening match. Like, so are there two matches in one? You know, I said, it's like they started and wanted to finish. Like in the beginning of the pay-per-view, we want to show you that, like, this is so crazy and battle bowl that anything can happen, you know. And then, okay, and then we have all these trash matches, and then we get to the end, and it's like, oh, don't forget, this is battle bowl. Anything can happen. I'm like, ugh.
At one point in this match, the crowd starts to chant for LOD.
No, they're not wrong. It's better than what they got in the ring.
No, you're right. You're right. So this match ends when Road Warrior Hawk throws Rip Rogers onto Booker T, and it's an embarrassing pin. Hawk and Rip Rogers win. This probably, if it wasn't for that awful King Kong, Kong smash, and, you know, fucking Dave Sullivan earlier, this would have been the worst match of the night.
I mean,
this is bad.
I disagree. I think this is the worst match of the night, because you at least expect more from, I mean, again, not that Hawk is, you know, Dean Malenko or Chris Jericho or anything like that, but you at least expect Hawk and Davey Boy to just make it be serviceable.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't, it was terrible. And the Kongs, yeah, when they came out, I didn't think like, oh, well, here we go. You know, oh, they're going to save the day. No, it was just bad.
All right. So we have our tag matches out of the way. We have our 16-man battle royal. There's one or two ways we can really do this, and that's, do we want to look at the whole, do we want to look at actual legitimate potential winners here and then jump to the final four? Because I'm telling you now, okay, this is, on paper, this looks fine. Like,
well, no, you're right. On paper, it looks fine. And then you get a minute and a half or 2 minutes into this, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is not what they're portraying it to be. God, I'm going to throw an inside joke. Someone's getting jobbed.
Someone's getting jobbed. Oh, okay. I got to derail this for a second. So
go ahead.
So this was last weekend or the weekend before we went, Jeff and I, buddy of ours, went down to Knoxville. We watched Next Generation Wrestling. We'll leave a link to their site in the description somewhere. But they had a show. We traveled there. We're all pretty good friends. And it's a Saturday. Oh no. Yeah. It's a Saturday in October. So there is college football. Right. And I forget what game it was. I think it was the Pitt game.
Yeah, it was a Pitt game. Yeah.
It was the Pitt game. And one of the play-by-play guys is like, we're getting jobbed here.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. He goes, something, something, I can't believe that. And he goes, we're getting jobbed here. And I turn my card and I'm like, is it, do I just have wrestling on the, I know we're down here for wrestling. Do I just have wrestling on the brain, or did he just say that they're getting jobbed? And even, and then, and the other guy was like, huh? You know what I mean? Like,
no.
What? I love, well, we all do. Me and Cod, we love when, you know, this tight-knit community of marks, you know, when someone exposes themselves in that instance, like, we're getting jobbed. If I could submarine the show the other, you know, even more, I'm just, my job at my workplace, we're on a conference call, and one of the higher ups in the company says, well, I had to stop doing that because I didn't want to get heat. Like, wait a minute, like, are you do you watch
what I was talking about?
Do you watch wrestling, or yeah
do you mean this hot, do you mean to say hot water?
Yeah, you mean heat, or you meant like go home heat? You know, which one are you talking here? So I just always love, again, we always love when random people you never met a day in your life, you know, and you don't even have to act, and that's not even a new thing. You don't even have to watch anything that's on now, but just at some point you were in, and mm-hmm. and we salute you here on the show.
Yeah. Battle Bowl 93. So our participants, we have Vader, Cactus Jack, Johnny B. Bad. We've got the Nasty Boys, the Shockmaster, Paul Orndorff, King Kong, Sting, Steve Austin, Flair, Rude, Shanghai Pierce, Hawk, and Rip Rogers. Now, I'm going to cut that list down for you. Legitimate potential people in this match that can win. It's going to be Vader, Sting,
yep.
Rick Rude, and Ric Flair. Those are your only four. There's not another person in this match where they are on the card yeah. right now that could win.
No, you're right. Let me ask you this. Going back, I guess, before you – well, I guess as you're watching it, who did you think was going to win?
Vader.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's only going off of what I had seen the month before.
That's fair.
And that was me going, and I'm like, how are they gonna eliminate Vader?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I started to look at the field. I'm like, what the hell? Oh yeah, King Kong is gonna win Battle Bowl 93. Like, and you could even say Cactus Jack had no shot at this because he got the tar beat out of him last month by Vader.
Did he ever?
And it's so funny because guess who the final four are? Vader, Sting, Flair, and Steve Austin, not Rude. Which is fine. I mean, you know, one or the other. I mean,
well, you again, hats off to the one guy in 1993 that was watching this and was like, oh man, my boy Steve Austin's going over.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our final four. Serious star power here. I'm glad that we didn't get an actual tag team here in the final four. We had an alliance of Vader and Austin getting down the stretch here.
Yeah.
You know, just guys pairing up to get rid of some guys. But this final four is great. This is my favorite part of the night.
Oh, well, if we're breaking into like two tag teams, which they weren't, but like, yeah, dude, this was the best all night long.
Yeah, this is great.
It's not close.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, maybe I find it great because of the dog crap we just watched, but this is still pretty good either way.
Yeah, I mean, this show was at the bottom, so it's only one way to go. That is up, but this, it wasn't. This last match was. It wasn't bad at all. It wasn't bad at all. I know we say that a lot, but again, we have been beaten down so much with the rest of this pay-per-view that, you know, we needed this. We had to have
it. Yeah. I think I want to start from Flair's stretcher job. leading up to this, Harley Race and Ric Flair just dueling it out like it's fucking 1983, you know, and it's kind of breaking down. And I tell you what, Austin Vader in the ring and Sting starts cleaning house, and this crowd is about as alive as I've heard them all night.
Yeah, Sting's that, well, not to me, but Sting's that dude, 93. Trust and believe that.
Yeah. Just so many things happening with just the four guys, and then you include Harley Race into this, who's trying to beat up Ric Flair while he's on the stretcher, you know, and
and he's well, not that he went away, but he's cool with Vader again, even though he's been punched multiple times.
Yeah.
Harley Race.
Vader accidentally splashes Austin. Austin gets eliminated. Flair eliminated by default, being, you know, stretchered out. So it's down to Vader and Sting. Arguably your two top guys right now. You know, Vader is your world champion right now. Sting is, I mean, Sting is as quick as a bull, you know. I mean, strong as a bull and as quick as a cat.
Yeah, I mean, he's your top baby face. Because Flair, they had to do something, because Flair, you can't have heel, not in 93, you can't have heel versus heel in the ring as your last two. So,
yeah,
you have to have Sting.
And
I'm sorry, 93, excuse me.
Yeah. So the one thing about this match is that it, or I guess about this battle bowl, is that it's a long match. And I think what gets me here towards the end is Sting goes for a Stinger splash, he misses, but then he does like he takes the bump over and out, and then just gives the win to Vader, essentially.
Yeah.
The finish was not my bag at all. I guess I was expecting more after we got the stuff with Flair. We had a Flair and Harley Race, and then Austin thinking he was all hot poop, you know, thought he was going to win. Then he gets dumped. It was very exciting, and then I think the length of the match is what kind of did this one in.
Yeah, well, like you said, once it gets down to Vader and Sting, you're like, oh, okay, here we go, you know? And it didn't really, well, not that it didn't deliver, but I guess it wasn't what we thought it was going to be, if we can be honest.
Yeah, no, and the cold truth about it is you've already advertised earlier in your show Vader versus Flair next month at Starrcade. So yeah. When you're last...
Title versus career, you know.
Yeah. So when your last two are Vader and Sting, you know, you're like, they're not going to have Vader lose this. They're not going to have him take a hit this close to that match. I mean, that would be supremely crazy. So This match ends, and Jeff, what do you get for winning Battle Bowl, huh? Maybe you get like a cash prize or a future title match, which Vader already has the title, but maybe after he loses it, he gets another match. Like, what do you get for this?
Well, let me ask you this. What don't you get for it?
Oh, you're right. You're right. You get the Battle Bowl ring.
Oh, yeah.
Which
like on its face is fine, you know, but it's not like if they were going to continue to do this and they had some type of weight, but no, it wasn't like, oh, well, Battle Bowl ring and, you know, this year's winner and last year's winner. And, but no, they never made it to that. It was a little measly ring.
Yeah, and if I can compare this to anything going on now, I would probably say it's the diamond ring that AEW has right now that MJF has. Mm-hmm. The fact that now 2 years in a row we've had a match for it, I think, is now putting it into Battle Bowl territory.
But yes, but again, at least it's been used as, you know, they still plug it every now and then, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, this is the ring, kiss the ring. We use the ring. And though it's the sad thing is like, a tournament for the ring for a ring is as old as the hills. I don't mind that, but it has to be something that somebody knows or somebody cares about. You can't just do it and it just has a no care factor to it, you know? So when someone wins it, well, like I said, well, who cares? It's a ring. It's got to have some type of prestige, some type of something. And they just missed the mark here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll wrap up this card. What are your final thoughts, Jeff, about WCW Battle Bowl 1993?
Better luck next time, boys. it was DOA. It was dead on arrival.
and we're not talking late 90s WWF with Skull and Chains and 8-Ball yet.
Not at all.
So funny about this. The Battle Bowl concept would not be used again until Slamboree 96.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We're going to have to look at this.
Oh, we're going to, well, if we're going to have to complete the Battle Bowl, we're going to close it out, you know?
Well, what if I told you there were 15 matches on this card.
Oh, man. Do we start drilling ourselves in the temple now, or do we just wait to do it?
Oh, wait. We're going to wait later until the absolute time is right.
Can you tell me, not to give up, you know, not to ruin, we don't want to spoil it for anybody, but can you tell me the opening match? Can you tell me that?
Okay. Road Warrior Animal and Booker T versus Road Warrior Hawk and Lex Luger.
Oh, man. I knew it. I said, you know what? Lex Luger is going to be in this thing at some point. You know what? I was like, I swear to you, Cod, I was like, I have a feeling Lex is probably in the first match. Just let me ask about the first match. And lo and behold, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. On that note, if you are watching us and have the ability, give us a like, share it with your friends, and subscribe. Let us know in the comments, if you are watching us, if you have seen this show, whether you have any interest in it, what's your favorite match, your worst match, maybe if something exceeded your expectations, anything. Let's go to get interactive with it. Thoughts in the comments below. If you are listening, make sure you come back and listen to us next week while we are going to cover ECW November to Remember 1995. You can watch that on Peacock now for the basic. It is $4.99 a month. The ads really blow, but get past it and you'll be fine. Unless you're made of money, then spend $9.99, but you should find better ways for your money, unfortunately.
and also, like Cod said, like, comment, subscribe, share, do whatever you're going to do. Also, let us know if there's something that you guys want us to review or you guys want us to watch. Then I guess watching and review is the same deal. But yeah, let us know. We're definitely open up. Trust me, if we watch this pay-per-view, I don't want to jinx us and say we can just about watch anything, but we can just about watch anything.
Yeah. If we can get our hands on it, we'll watch it. So until next time, guys, this has been Ryan and Jeff. We are the Wrestling Purists, and we will see you soon.